The word's good, yeah. A plus, y'all know what I'm doing. Praise God. I surrender all. You know, a lot of people like the Jesus of salvation in heaven. Save them from the fire, you know. A lot of people love the Jesus of the abundant life. A lot of people love the Jesus of the heaven on earth and the prosperity and the healing. But what about the Jesus that said, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross? How about the Jesus that said in the Word, of course he is the Word, it was penned in the book of Corinthians there, that you are bought with a price and you are not your own. I surrender all, but in private I want to do anything I want to. I surrender all. I want to think however I want, have attitude problems and do whatever I want and think whatever I want about the Word. All to Thee, save me from hell, but I want to do whatever I want to. It's true. Take up His cross and follow Him. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Bought with a price. Well, I want to do things my way. Okay. You're going to stand before Him someday. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says, see, we don't talk a lot about judgment around here, but it's on my heart singing that song. The Bible says that we're going to stand before Jesus and give an account of the things we did in the body. Amen. Amen. Now, it won't determine heaven or hell for us because we're born again and we're going to heaven. But my God, we're not on our own program down here. We're His, praise God. It ain't about what we want. It's about, Lord, what do You want? What's Your plan? What's Your purpose for my life? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, some people, unfortunately, will have to learn that the hard way. Amen. It's true. I want to get it right down here. A lot of times, I remember hearing my pastor one time saying, you know, it's better to hear it from him than him. Better to hear it from him on the earth than him. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to the book of James chapter 1. Praise the Lord. See, you want the John 3:16 without the other parts. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want the other parts of the word that Jesus says and things like that. Backwards. It's backwards. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, Father, thank You for the word tonight. Lord, that's just utterance from heaven. Didn't plan on saying it, Lord, but as I was singing that song, some things were shown in my spirit, some things, some attitudes, some ideas, philosophies and things, Lord, and they're just wrong and they're going to hurt people. And some people are going to have to take and learn the hard way, Father. And so, Lord, I just pray that people will get it right here before they have to learn the hard way, Father. They would submit to Your plan and surrender to Your plan. Your plan is always best. Your ways are always best. Your ways are always right. Your ways are always true. Lord, You are the truth of the world. The Word is the truth. The Word is our standard. So, Father, we thank You so much for all that You're going to do through us tonight, all that's going to be said, all that's going to be imparted, Father. We thank You for everything that we're about to receive, all that we're about to walk into. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that when Pastor Mike gets bold like that and says stuff, that's not my ideas and my philosophies, my ideas, my plans, and my purposes. We're talking about God's Word here. Now, I just want to say this to you. If God's Word is not your standard, I can't tell you anything. I can't help you. Amen? If God's Word isn't the final authority in your life, then okay, there's no help for you. You're just going to do things your own way. But I just believe we want God's way. Why wouldn't you want God's way? I kicked against God's way for years. I could tell you a lot of people kick against God's way, and they just keep going around the same mountain of defeat, the same mountain of sickness and disease, the same mountain of frustration. And then I can tell you people that got out of doing it their way, doing it God's way, and things changed. I'm one of them. You're one of them, Jake? Anybody else one of them that was doing it their own way and now doing it God's way and things are better? Anybody around here? Amen. It's His way's better. But go ahead, try it. You know, go ahead, try it. Try it your way. And I'm just here to say for the people that are going to try, this is a prophecy, by the way, by the Holy Ghost. You will suffer lumps in life if you try it your way, unnecessarily. Sickness and disease, things will break down, things won't work for you, things will be frustrating for you. I'm just prophesying what the Word says to do. And let me tell you this, by the way. The Bible says this is all came from that song and worshiping. Because I'm going to share the same message. See, Rebecca, you were there. Kim Lai, you were there last night. I think, Julie, you said you listened to it by live stream. Was anyone else in Olean? You were there last night. You were there. And I'm going to share the same message because that's what the Holy Ghost wants. But I didn't say any of this last night. Did I? Did I say anything this last night? No, this is all utterance from the Holy Ghost. And, people are going to walk into things. The Word says this. Brother Hagin said this, and in fact, Peter, he got it from Peter. He said it's dangerous to come up to light and walk away from it. The Bible says it would have been better for you to not know the truth than to know it and turn away. Amen. How? Why? Because we're talking recently, you know, we're not going to share about tonight, about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils trying to pull people away. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I could tell you story after story. Oh, you just say that to keep the seats filled. Well, I see a bunch of empty seats, so I must not be doing a good job. I guess I'm not a seat filler. Praise God. But we just try to keep you safe. Because there is a spiritual realm and a Jesus that you're going to have to stand before, whether or not you know it or not. You live your natural life just doing anything you want all day long. There's going to come a day you're going to stand before the King. And my job is to get you ready to stand before the King. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. So do with it what you will. But Father, we're so grateful again. Let's just thank Him again. Father, we're so thankful. We're going to do this tonight, Lord. Thank you for utterance, boldness, and help. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that's about to be shared. Hit bullseyes tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, in James chapter 1, I shared this message last night. It's going to be interesting for the people that have heard it. I'd say it's about 50% of the time we do the same things in both churches. Depends on what the Holy Ghost has to say, but they always come out different. Different utterance. Just even so far, that utterance is why a different crowd, different audience, different things that people need and different things. And the Lord knows that. And so James chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says that let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. So the Bible says that the person that won't approach God in faith or full belief or assurance won't receive anything from Him. So you know what that tells me? That faith is not optional. Faith is not an optional thing to participate in or to step into. Faith is something we ought to be skilled in. And around here we preach a lot on faith, and it's a reason. It's not because I don't know other things to share. It's because the Lord told me years ago when we started this church that we'll major in faith. Well, that's what He told Brother Hagin. He told Brother Hagin, your main ministry is going to be go teach my people faith. Well, that's what He spoke to me, that we would major in faith. And so that's what we do. We major in faith, and we minor in a lot of other things and get to a lot of other things. But faith is important. Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without it you can't even please God. That should tell you it's not optional. Well, if I'm a faith person or not, it doesn't matter. Well, it matters if you want to please God. But I know a lot of people in our day and age don't want to please God. God is just some secondary thing, some optional thing. But I want to please Him. Amen. And Hebrews 6 and verse 12, I sent that out on that slick text today, that the Bible says that that's how we receive from God, through faith and through patience. Right? And so without faith, you can't receive from God. James tells us this, that if you ask, you better ask in faith or there will be no receiving. Why? You receive through faith. Of course, Ephesians 6 tells us, these are the popular ones I go to point out the importance of this. Ephesians 6 and verse 16 tells us that without faith, we don't have a shield that quenches the darts of the wicked one. That means if you're not walking or living by faith, your shield's down and the devil has an inroad to you and he can fire darts into you and affect you and hurt you. Amen. Praise God. And then 1 John 5 and verse 4, of course, says this, that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. You want to be overcome, then be out of faith. You want to be the overcomer, be in faith. Overcoming is your to be an overcomer, faith is your key. It's the secret to overcoming in life. Praise God. So with that being said, go with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. This verse was stirring in my spirit. I didn't know what we'd be sharing tonight until last night after service and praying on the way home, praying this morning and seeking God on what to share. Because sometimes I get in my head, if I can be honest with you, after I preach along the same lines like the night before, I possibly might share it the next day. I get in my head and thinking, oh, you're just taking the easy road out, or and who wants to hear this again? But I find that when we just obey God, we're blessed. I mean, I hope this is appropriate to say, but I got sermons out the wazoo. Is wazoo okay to say? I don't know if that's okay to say. If it's not, forgive me. Bible says to forgive me, so, but I do have sermons that we could preach lots of sermons on lots of different topics, but I endeavor to hear from heaven. When we give out words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and call out healings and stuff, that's not just made up. Like, we want to hear what God's saying. God is, he's accurate. The Holy Ghost is like a sniper. He hits the mark. He knows what we need, and so this verse was stirring in my spirit yesterday during the morning and the afternoon. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that was just stirring. So the Lord then gave me a message for last night and told me to share along the same lines tonight. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we know what we just looked at. Faith is not optional. We have to walk by faith. But if we're going to be successful in faith, we better renew our minds to this verse. Remember in Romans, we don't have to take time and turn there, but in Romans chapter 12, it says that the way we're transformed into the end of the verse, which the end of that verse is the perfect will of God for our lives. Isn't that what you want? The perfect will of God for your lives. The way that we're transformed into the perfect will of God for our lives is through the renewing of the mind. Well, renewing of the mind to what? God's ways, God's thoughts, God's ideas, God's plans. Well, what are God's ideas, God's thoughts, and God's plans? Where are they found? They're found in His Word. They're found through Him speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. And so we must renew our mind to what the Word says to then be transformed into what the Bible says we can have. And so 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 tells us something about faith, that faith and sight are different. Yeah. We walk by faith but not by sight. What that means is we don't conduct our lives in the natural realm in the sense that we don't put our hope, our faith and everything in the natural realm. In fact, faith and sight are not the same thing. Right? And what does Hebrews 11 verse 1 says? That faith is the evidence of what you can't see. And this is what is a big problem for a lot of Christians, because a lot of Christians are Thomas Christians. I didn't mention Thomas last night, but Thomas just came up in my heart, so we'll talk about Thomas. What's a Thomas Christian? Well, Thomas said, you know, the disciples said, Jesus is risen. We know He's alive. We saw Him. And Thomas said, unless I can see Him, unless I can touch Him, put my fingers in the prints and behold Him with my own hands, I will not believe in what Jesus appeared, right? And He said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are the people that believe because they haven't seen. Now, that's not just talking about salvation. Why? That is the principle of what faith is, believing what you can't see. That's faith. The people that are in faith are the people that are blessed. Why? The people that are in faith are the pleasers of God. They're the ones with the shield up. They're the ones that receive. They're the ones that overcome. And so Jesus was saying, you're blessed if you can get to a place where you believe and not see. Not just talking about Him, but talking about everything the Word promises us. Because this is what you need to understand, and I'll just kind of lead this in. I shared this message about a year ago. I was on a walk with my dog on Trask Road, and I think it's either Jamestown or Lakewood. I'm not sure. It's all close to the border there, but I was coming around the corner, and the phrase came up out of my heart and in my head that was just there. It was just like, just kept repeating over and over, that's the facts, Jack. That's the facts, Jack. That's the facts, Jack. And you know, that's a saying or a statement that people will say at times, and I've heard people say it. I might even have used it sometimes where maybe it's your kids aren't happy about something, and that's a fact, Jack. Or, you know, the bank teller gives you back the receipt, and this is what the amount on it, and what? I thought I had more. I'm sorry, that's the fact, Jack, right? You know, and things like that. And that's what we're talking about. Blessed are those that can believe and not see, because faith is of the unseen realm. Belief is of the unseen realm. If you could see it, you wouldn't need faith for it. And there are facts that come to us in our life through circumstances, through situations, through opinions, through people's words, different things like that. There are facts. Facts like, how many of you know your bank account, the statement on that piece of paper, that thing you get in the mail every month, or when you can log online and see that number, how many of you know that's a fact? Yeah. It's a fact. It's what it is, right? The bills that are on the table that don't equal, or the money in the account that doesn't equal the bills that are on the table, written statement with your name on it, and your address on it, how many of you know those are facts? Those are facts. How many of you know when you go to a doctor and they take your blood pressure and they take it a few times to get an accurate reading, you know, and they tell you this is your blood pressure? How many of you know that's the facts? That's your blood pressure. How many of you know you get blood drawn, your cholesterol numbers, different things, your weight, different things. Doctors' reports, MRIs, physicals, things the doctors report back. How many of you know those are factual things? Amen. And when that came up in my heart, that's the facts, Jack. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just walking my dog, looking at the scenery, you know, and that came up. That's the facts, Jack. What in the world? That's the facts, Jack. And then the Holy Ghost spoke this in my heart. It was so clear. He said, but with me, the facts don't mean Jack. That's what the Holy Ghost said. The facts don't mean Jack. And so when he said that to me, I started to, from my heart, all the different places in the Word where that, because whatever the Lord says to somebody, it's going to be backed up in the Bible. That's how you stay safe and stay away from things that are cults and scary things. And are people getting off? Are people getting into their own thoughts? You just stay with the Bible. The Bible keeps you safe, praise God. I was telling somebody last night that when you start getting into things in the Word, especially when you come in from a church maybe, either you come in from a no church at all, no background, no church at all, no Word at all, or you come from a church that really doesn't preach the Word, or maybe even preaches against some of the things that you hear here, you know, your flesh and your mind can be very uncomfortable. Right? Because you have traditions, you have people you trust to tell you things, you have people you look up to tell you things. You know, just naturally, we don't like change as individuals a lot of times. And so we'll hear things that can, I'll give you an example, speaking in tongues. You hear that and it elicits a response in people. Or you talk about people's money or how to raise their children or anything that the Bible says that you're unfamiliar with, it's going to rub the flesh the wrong way. Well, why? The Bible says that the Word is spirit and the Word and the spirit and flesh are at a war together. So at times, the flesh is going to kick against these things. Your mind's going to kick against these things. And this is just a little tip for you, by the way, to help you here. Because you'll hear things that you don't understand and don't know. And you'll have opinions from other people and tell you, that church is off. That pastor's off. That's not biblical. Now, they don't ever have any scriptures when they say that, but they just say that's not biblical. Yeah. The way that you know you're safe, and the way that you know, I liken it to the trapeze artist or the high-flying act, you know, of the circus, and they're doing all those twists and turns and jumps and flips and stuff off the thing that swings back and forth there, and there's a net underneath them. Well, how many of you know when the net's underneath you, there's a different feeling of swinging back and forth than if there's no net underneath you? I mean, it's different, right? I remember watching that Nick Willenda cross the Niagara Falls, and it was different watching that because he was tethered in than it was when I saw him go across the Grand Canyon with nothing on. I wasn't as nervous watching that. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, big deal, I could do this. You know, I can't, but I at least wouldn't fall to my death. I'd dangle like he would. But then when I watched him go across that canyon, oh man, I could hardly watch that thing. Why? Safety net. Well, the Word is like a safety net. What do I mean? When you start getting out over the canyon into territory of the Word that is uncomfortable to you, that doesn't make sense to you, that you've never heard before, the thing that keeps you safe from a fall is it in the Word? Do you know what the Word's meant to be? It's meant to be a safety net to your feelings and your thoughts. Why? Because our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. Our ways or our flesh and the way we do things are not God's ways. And our flesh wants to go opposite of God. God's going this way and our flesh wants to go this way. Our mind wants to go this way. But the Word is meant to wrangle us and keep us safe from those thoughts and feelings. Because let me tell you something, Christians are very opinionated. They have strong feelings about things. And their feelings and their opinions get them into big trouble. And they have to learn the hard way. It's just the truth. I'm telling you, how do I know? I went through some things that were unnecessary. Praise God. And so the Word keeps you safe. Glory to God. Amen. And so when the Lord said to me, the facts with me, the facts, you know, that's the facts, Jack. That's the facts, Jack. And the Holy Ghost said, but with me, the facts don't mean Jack. Well, he's got to give me scripture on that. And he did immediately. And so I know when I say to you that the Lord said to me, the facts don't mean Jack, we'll have Bible to prove that. Now, the reason that's important is because you'll all have facts in your life. There'll be facts in your life, doctor's reports, things with your family, things with your finances, situations at work, situations with people, situations just generally in life that are factual, things that you're living, you're seeing, you're touching, it's alive and well, you're experiencing it. And the Word will tell you opposite of what the natural is saying to you. And how do we receive or walk into what the Bible has for us? Only by faith. But what is faith? A belief in the unseen realm. And that's why if you don't renew your mind to this verse, that faith is of the unseen realm, the seen realm gets so loud at times and can press upon you so much and can be so real and in your face that that's what you start to put your faith in. Amen. It's true. Well, let's go to the Word and look at some examples of the facts don't mean jack. And we'll go back and forth between our life and the Word and different things. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13 is where we're going to start. Looking at the facts don't mean jack. See, we've been talking a lot about the Word, and the Word is your safety net. I'm just here to warn people. When you start doing things, saying things, and living out of a revelation or living a lifestyle and living and doing things, and you have no scriptural backing for why you're talking like that, why you're thinking like that, why you're saying like that, you're bound for a fall. I'm here to tell you, you're bound for a fall. A lot of people will say, this is how I feel, this is what I want, this is what I think. Okay, but that doesn't matter. What does the Word say? God's ways are best. And when the Word stops becoming your standard, that's when trouble comes. Praise God. The Word is such a safety net. Praise God. Hallelujah. Numbers 13 and verse 1, Numbers 13, 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which, now notice this next statement, which I give unto the children of Israel. He says, what's the land of Canaan? Well, remember, they just came out of Egypt. They came out, Moses led them out through the Red Sea. Now they've been delivered from something. Now God's going to bring them into something. And I said that needs to be a sermon. I'll tell you, that can preach right there. God will bring you out of something to bring you into something else, praise God. Didn't he do that with salvation? He brought you out of darkness and control of the devil into an eternal life, an abundant life in heaven on earth. He brought you out of something to bring you into something better. Well, he brought them out of Egypt to what? Bring them into something better. The promised land. And he said to them, I'm giving this to you. I give it to you. That was all the stipulations he said. He said it didn't depend on what was there. He didn't say it depended on the weather or what you think. He said, this is yours. I want you to have it. Praise God. So he says, send spies out. We know they did. They sent out 12, two of them including Caleb and Joshua. And then go to verse 25. We'll pick up when they came back from doing what God told Moses to have them do. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron. So now they're coming back to bring a report. What are they coming back to do? Report the facts. Remember they said, go out and see what the land that God has for us. Go see what it is. So now they're just coming back and reporting the facts. Hallelujah. He said, they came back to Moses, to Aaron, to all the children of the Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and it flowed with milk and honey. It was a good land, of course it was. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. What are they doing right now? Still reporting facts. That's a fact. That wasn't a lie. That was a fact. The people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. Well, we know that's true, because when they finally got the land 40 years later, the first place they took was Jericho, and they had to get past a wall. Yeah. So them coming back and saying the cities have walls on them, that's a fact. That's a fact. And said, the cities have walls and are very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And so they come back and they report the facts. Now, Caleb is listening to this, and he hears them say, now remember what they said, it's a good land, but then in 28 they said, nevertheless. So their tone of voice and how they're reporting the facts, it's, how many of you know you can report the facts two different ways? What did the doctor say about your report? I've talked to people before. What did the doctor say? Pastor Mike, the doctor said I have this, but praise God, the word is bigger, the word is better. I will walk into healing. That's reporting the facts. The doctor said this. And then I've had other people, I don't know what I'm going to do. The doctor said this, and this is what the doctor said. That's two ways of reporting facts, but they're very different. And there would have been a way to report the facts here. They asked for the facts, right? Tell us what it's like. And they could have come back and say, it flows with milk and honey. There's strong people there. And there's walled cities there. The Anak there. The Amalekites. The Jebusites. The Canaanites. All these people, they're there. That would have been the facts, right? But when he says, nevertheless, what's he saying? It's good, but we can't have it because the cities are walled. The cities are great. There's all these people there. The people are strong, right? So Caleb picks up on this and jumps in and says in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He said, I can't let this get out of hand, praise God. I love a man like Caleb. He said, I can't listen to this doubt and unbelief talk too much. And you ought to not listen to doubt and unbelief talk either. Why? Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Why? Your ears are your faith gates. What you hear, you'll have faith for. One time I heard, this is a true story. I don't go around looking for these things to happen, just so you know. The Lord's always given me examples. Someone that was always Debbie Downer. You know Debbie Downer, don't you? Always depressed, always sad, always looking on the dark side of life. You know, it's half empty all the time, right? Moping around, never works out for me, this always happens to me, you know, not being a faith person. And I had the pleasure, I say that sarcastically, of being around them a few days in the row. And you know what I heard? Playing over the music for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day. Songs that talked about how bad things were. How things don't work out for you. How things are tough. Now see, I didn't say this stuff last night. It's utterance. Someone needs to hear it. Well, what happened? Faith keeps coming in. How bad it is. What are they hearing? Jesus, the word says you'll have faith for what you hear. So you better be careful what you're hearing. That's why we're very careful what our kids can listen to. Amen. Why? Faith will build in their lives. We want them around encouraging things. Positive things. Why? Faith comes. I just believe Jesus. Forgive me for that. And all day long, I think, oh, that's why they're like that. That's what their faith is on. Their faith isn't it's going to work out. Their faith is on it's going to be tough for them, and it's always, you know, not going to work out. No wonder they're Debbie Downer. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So Caleb, I appreciate Caleb. He said, shut up. I don't want to hear this anymore. He says, we can still the people before Moses. When it says still the people before Moses, that was a nice way of Caleb saying, shut up. Right? Put the shut to the up. Combined them, right? Stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That tells you that Caleb was not denying the facts. For the wording that he used, faith does not deny the facts. You fall out of a tree and your bones hanging out your elbow and you're turning pale and someone says, how you doing? Great! I've never been better. We got a bone sticking out of your arm. Caleb is not denying the facts because he says we got to possess it. It means we got to take possession. Take possession. Amen? Amen. You know, when a football team is on defense and the offense has possession of the ball, the offense doesn't just hand that over to the defense to give them possession. To get possession, it has to be by force, has to be taken. And he says, we have to overcome. So he wasn't denying the facts, but he was reporting the facts with a much different attitude. Right? Yeah, it flows with milk and honey, and there's walls, and there's strong people there, but we're going and taking it from them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He reported the facts. And it says here, after he stilled the people, but the men, verse 31, that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Now here's what you have to understand. The facts are not the evil report. The facts are not what are the evil report. It becomes evil when you believe the facts over what God had said about those facts. When you put your faith in the facts, that's when it becomes evil. Because he said here that we're not able to go up there stronger. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched, and the children of Israel, saying, the land through which have gone up to search it is the land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So that's the facts, Jack. That's the facts, Jack. Well, what did the facts say? You can't have this land. That's what the facts said, right? Well, what about the facts in your life? The facts tell you you're sick. The facts tell you you have something incurable. The facts tell you you've had something for how many years? It's not going to change. That's what the facts say. The facts say I can't pay my bills that are at home right now. The facts say my salary, my paycheck does not equal what I have out going out every month. That's the facts. But how many of you know the Word says about your health that He heals your body and you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus 2,000 years ago? The Word calls you healed. The Word says it belongs to you. But the facts say, the Word says you can, what did the Word say? You can have the promised land if you want it. You know what the Word says about healing? You can have it if you want it. But what did the facts say about the promised land? You can't have it. What does the facts say about people's body? Can't have it. You know what the Word says about your finances? It says you can have a full supply and live in prosperity and abundance. That's what the Word says. If you want it, if you want prosperity, abundance, and to walk into to having your needs met, you can have it. It's available to you. But the facts will say, you can't have it. It's never been that way. It's never going to be that way. How are you going to do that with the job you have? How are you going to do that with the saving account you have? The bills you have, how are you going to do it? Those are the facts. Well, remember what happened to Pastor Mike on the walk with his dog. Remember that? The Lord told me that that's the facts, Jack. But then he said, with him, the facts don't mean Jack. God didn't give a rip about walled cities when he told them they could have it. God didn't give a rip about strong people in a land. He didn't give a rip about the giants and Anak and all the people there. He didn't care. It wasn't reported back to him, and then God was all of a sudden caught off guard, sitting on the throne in heaven and saying, oh, I better take that back. You can't have the land now because I didn't know there was walls there. He didn't care. God does not care what the doctor's report says. It doesn't change the fact that healing is available. God doesn't care what your bank account says, what your bills say. It doesn't change the fact that provision is available. Or whatever else you need, and whatever else promise that you have in the Word, that the natural is saying, nope, not going to happen. Facts, the facts. Now here's what you have to understand about the facts. We know now why it's important that we better renew our mind to not walking by sight and walking by faith. Because the children of Israel, what they do? They put their faith in the walls. They believed that the walls were bigger than what they had. They believed in the giants. They believed. They basically believed the facts, didn't believe God, and what happened? They didn't receive. Well, what does the Bible say? If you don't approach in faith, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. So that sickness that's plaguing your body, that thing that's in your life that's plaguing you, that has major facts, I mean, it's in your face, symptoms and checkbooks and numbers and all these things that are real life that are saying, your family's saying this, people are saying this, job reports, all these things are facts, 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 fact alert, fact alert, fact alert. Alarm, what's it trying to get you to do? Have faith in the facts. You don't think those walls were talking to those people? You don't think those cities and the people were talking, saying, nana, nana, boo, boo? Remember what Brother Hagin said driving down the road when he was preaching the gospel early on in his life? And he was learning things of faith. And he said he was driving down the road preaching the gospel, going from one town to the next, driving down the old dirt road. And he said he had four baldy tires. That's how he called it, on his vehicle. And he said each baldy tire was just a singing to him. One baldy tire was saying, what are you going to do, prosperity preacher? You can't even pay your bills and you're going around preaching the Word. That was the facts. The facts will talk to you. Why? Because the devil's motivating those facts and behind those circumstances and situations, and he knows if I can get him to listen to the facts, faith will come for the facts. But with God, he said the facts don't mean jack, but they put their faith in the facts and they didn't receive. You put your faith in those facts of the doctor's report and what your body feels. You start believing that that's the way it's going to be, and you'll stay that way. You keep your faith on those financial reports and the fact that your job says this and they tell you that there's no room for improvement, there's no room for promotion, there's no room for growth. You put your faith in that and there'll never be promotion, there'll never be growth, because that's where your faith will be. They missed out for 40 years until they got their act together and got in faith, then they got in. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Facts don't mean jack. Well, if that's the truth, the Bible will tell us. Romans chapter 4. It says in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham, as it is written, I, God, have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, he makes alive the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17, he calls those things which be not as though they were. What's God doing? Not living by the facts. The facts... He says he calls those things which be not as though they were. Well, in Abraham's situation, what was he calling things that be not as though they were? He wasn't a dad factually. In the natural, he was not a dad to the promise of the son of Isaac. We might touch on the way he went about it outside of God's will, not with Sarah. God said, you and Sarah are going to have a baby. Well, he didn't. They didn't have a baby, but God said, your name is now Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. What was he doing? Calling those things which be not. Abram wasn't a dad. He called him a dad. Why? God's not interested in looking at the facts. Why? Because with God, remember the revelation your pastor got? The facts don't mean jack. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a higher realm than the natural realm. I know we live in the natural realm, we breathe in the natural realm, we walk in the natural realm, we conduct business in the natural realm, but there's a higher realm in the natural realm. It's the unseen realm, and that's the realm your Father lives in. And He sees through the fact of a 99-year-old man who can't have a baby, and He sees what can become of that with faith. Why? Because with faith, all things are possible. God can see through the faith and what the faith can manifest to the what's possible. But it's not enough for God to see what's possible. We have to have the eye of faith, which what? Sees past the natural. It's called faith X-ray vision is what it is. Seeing through the sickness into the healing. Seeing through the poverty into the prosperity. Seeing through our family serving the devil into our family serving God. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a family member of someone at the Allegheny Church get born again a week ago. And it's been a six-year process since I've known these people. And I just kept saying, I said, Bible says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I said, it's God's will more than it's your will that your family member get saved. And I just kept saying, you need to keep thanking God for their salvation. You got to see, yeah, but they're doing this and that, and they're... You got to see past that stuff. You got to see their hand raised in church. To get your faith, because they need your faith. Amen? You got to see past. You got to actually be able to see what would it be like to be symptom free. What would life look like every day not being glued to my medicine at a certain amount of times a day? What would it look like to actually have extra money to do something fun with? If you can't see past what's shouting at you, then you're not going to get to what's past shouting at you. And it says, who against hope, verse 18, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at this. And not being weak. So now we have two different situations. The children of Israel in the promised land had facts. They believed the facts and they didn't receive. Now we have Abraham, a 99-year-old man, almost 100, who's been promised, like God promised the children of Israel, they've been promised something too. They were promised something. Abraham and Sarah promised something. So, but there's facts. How many know there's facts? What are the facts? Well, the facts tell us here. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. How many of you know your body and baby making is a fact? Unless you're Mary. Everybody out, you know, unless you're Mary. Of course, I know there's procedures they can do nowadays, but we're not talking about nowadays when we're reading this. And it says, considered not his own body, now dead. Now, his heartbeat wasn't dead, but his body, as far as baby making, was considered as good as dead. That was a fact. That's still a fact. It says when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, that's true for a 90-year-old woman. What's the facts for a 90-year-old woman? Dead womb. Not a baby-making environment. That's the facts. That's the facts. So here we go again. We're at the Y in the road. You got facts that are real. They're real. You can see them. You can see what the calculator says. I mean, the doctor's smart. They have the test. They have the images. They have the counts. They have it. It's there. The facts are there. You're at the Y. Am I going to go the way of the facts or am I going to go the way of the promise? And Abraham has a choice here. What am I going to do? Go the way of the facts or the way of the promise? Well, it says he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider. So he said, the facts don't mean nothing to me. He said in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Now we know the end of the story. What? Isaac came. There was a baby. Now, God's the same God. Do you think God loved Abraham more than the children of Israel? Absolutely not. They're both Jews. Both group of people are Jews, unsaved, not born again. They're in this. Actually, Abraham and the children of Israel are in the same exact class of people. But why did Abraham get something and the children of Israel didn't? When God said, here, you can both have it. You can both have it. Why? One believe the facts, one believe God. That's all it comes down to. Faith. That's what I said in the beginning. Faith's not optional. You can only receive by faith, but you better get the idea that faith's of the unseen realm. Faith is of the unseen realm. If it wasn't, you wouldn't need faith. And so he received, praise God, didn't take the facts into consideration, even though the facts were loud. Can you imagine how loud the facts would have been to Abraham concerning that promise? You know how loud the facts are to you. You know, when you feel stuff in your body, you start to get a mindset that that's just how life is now. That's just what I mean, I'm feeling it every day. I'm experiencing it every day. You better get your mind renewed to the healing promise of God, or your faith's going to be in that feeling all the time. And you're going to stay right there sick. Yet some people have been able to cross over the divide of unbelief and to move into their blessing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want to show you the facts don't mean jack, but something does mean jack. Do you want to know what means jack? I'll show you what means jack. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What is the word saying here? That the facts don't matter. It doesn't matter that my body is now dead. See, your eyes will report things back to your brain and your heart. Your feelings will report things back. If you don't funnel that stuff through the Word, you're going to sink in doubt and unbelief. Because, ladies and gentlemen, at times we encounter things that are scary, that are real, that we can feel, that the report is so bad and in our face. Amen. But Abraham said, I don't care that I'm 99. I don't care that she's 90. All I'm focused on is what God said. The facts don't mean jack, but what God says means jack. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't get into the full testimony. I did get into it a little fuller last night in Allegheny, and for time's sake I won't, but I want to give you an example. Now, I could give you lots of examples when the facts didn't mean jack. When they told us we had to have a sprinkler system for $100,000, that was the facts. That was the New York State law. That's what the contractor said. That's what the building code guy said. And that's what the architect said. That was the facts. But God told me something different. And guess what happened? I believe something different and something different happened.
Amen.
When I had my appendix, you know, blow up after 3 days and the poison went through my body and I had to be in the hospital for over 2 weeks for an appendectomy, which normally isn't that long, you know, it's a day or two, but when the poison goes through you and you almost die, well, that affected my body. And the doctors reported things I was feeling in my body were facts, and they said, some of those things that you're experiencing, the symptoms will not let up for a year's time. So we've seen this in other people. This is just what you have to expect, because I was experiencing some pretty heavy symptoms after that. And they said there's some things that I was experiencing after that I went and found out after from it. They said, you'll never be free from for the rest of your life because of this. That's what they said to me. That was the facts. I mean, a doctor says it, you have to believe it. I mean, your checkbook says it, you have to believe it. No, you don't. Not if God says something different, you don't. The facts say a 99 and a 90 can't have a baby, but God said you can. That's all that matters. Amen. The walls say you can't have this city. The people say you ain't going to have this city. We're stronger than you. But God said that's all that matters. Well, the Word said I could be healed of all my diseases, all my sicknesses. I could walk into complete divine healing. So I just chose to believe the Word. And guess what? I don't have any symptoms. And guess what? Within a couple months' time, every symptom was gone in my body. Every symptom was gone in my body. And I went back to the doctor and said, you must just be the special case. Yeah, I am. I'm very special. I'm a child of the King. I'm very special. And you're special too. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I could go into times and tell you those, but the one that the Lord wants me to share is the testimony of my house. Now, about the facts don't mean jack, but only what means jack? Only what God says. So we were looking for a house for, was it 26 months? And we were looking out in this area, and this would have been in 2012. We started looking, you know, and she was pregnant to have Abby, and Abby was born in 2013 in March. And so we're looking for a house. I think it's a house out here. You know, your pastor and I, this was before I started Olean. Didn't start Olean until September of 2013. And so we're looking for a house out here, looking for a house. And I'm going into houses. I'm getting the witness that it's not the house, you know, and houses that we like naturally. And Lord's saying, no, no, no. Well, then I get the leading of the Holy Ghost that our time's not done in the Lakewood, Jamestown, Frewsburg area. And so I know I'm supposed to still live there. And it was such a peace, you know. After looking for 26 months of wasting my time, I should have just got down on my face. See, a lot of people do 90% going and only 10% praying when you should be doing 90% praying, and that'll save you only have to do 10% of the going. Because I wasted two years. I wasn't seeking God. I assumed in my mind. Just like when I was told to start a second church, I assumed in my mind it would be a second Sunday service and it would have to be before noon. And the only place I can get to before noon that doesn't have a church that needs one is Gowanda and Randolph. So I spent months in Gowanda and Randolph, didn't I? Walking the town, driving the town, looking around, going out there, making appointments, and I wouldn't get anything in my heart. And finally I said, I don't think we're supposed to be in Gowanda or Randolph. Maybe I should ask God. Amen. And I did, and he told me, wow, ask and you'll... seek and you'll knock and it will be
open.
You have not because you
have not.
Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. He's got the answer, but guess what? It's going to take an asking. It's going to take a seeking. It's going to take a knocking. Praise God. So I just assumed you're pastor and you live out here. That's what you're told. But the distance hasn't changed me from pastor in any way. If I live 5 minutes from here, it just takes me longer to get here.
Yeah.
Hasn't affected how I pastor you or anything, right?
Right.
I've had people get mad at me because I don't live in the town that I pastor. Well, now it's tough because God told me to pastor two places. I guess I'm supposed to be Gumby. Stretch out. People get the dumbest thoughts in their head. Why? They devalue what the important thing is here. Who cares that I got to drive longer than you? So what? Who cares if I have an appointment I got to leave earlier than you? Good for you, you get to sleep longer. Amen? And so I asked Lord, well, I thought I was going to have a house out here. Well, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. We can't find a house. Abby's coming. The house we have is not meeting our needs. You said you'd meet our needs. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, you're looking in the wrong place. Dummy. I should know better. So I see guy says we're supposed to be there. So I'm driving around and I see a house that catches my attention. And I pull into the house and pull into the driveway, and I see the real estate advantage sign. I can't remember. I think I called, but I might have looked it up online, but I'm pretty sure I called. Found out the price. Said, oh, I'm not going to pursue this. Just so you know, the price of the house. Now, we'd already been led for her to quit her job, and you have to know about what her job was. She got a degree. She's the smart one of the bunch. She's got the degree, was making all the money, you know. She had climbed up the ladder in her profession in Jamestown and got to the top of where she was, overseeing a children's program at the YWCA, staff members under her, good salary, good benefits, all these things, carrying us financially. And the Lord tells her to step away from that job, and she did. It's funny, she stepped away from that job right before my appendix went south, and I had no insurance, and the bill was, what, over $40,000? You know how many pennies I paid to that $40,000 medical bill? Zero. I was getting out of the hospital and someone came in, and the nurse came in and said, wow, Mr. Anderson, you must have made an impact on somebody. I said, why? They said, somebody just came in and paid the majority of your bill. I have no idea to this day who it was. But just start believing God. Once I got off the medication, I got into faith. I had to get off the medication. But anyways, where are we at? We're at the house. So she, when she's working and making the money, and you know, we're just starting to get paid around here, you know, so it wasn't very much. And she's working and making a lot. We are looking for houses, so we go to banks to find out what they're going to give us. And they tell us a number. So, okay, we get a number. This is what you're pre-approved for. So this house that we look at now, where she's not working, the only reason we had the number on that bank form was because of her job. It wasn't my job. But now she's not working, and the number on this house is tens of thousands of dollars more, what they're asking for this house, than what she and I were pre-approved for when she's working. So what do you think the bank's going to do now? And I say, this is the house I want. Okay, Mr. Anderson, what's your income? See you later. That's all, folks. I'm out of here, right? Why? Because if we can't even meet that and we're tens of thousands of dollars short with her income, they're going to laugh in my face. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I started to cross that off. And you know what the Lord said to me? Make an appointment to see it. I heard it clear in my heart. In fact, Pastor Tim was in the pastor's seat with me when we pulled in and looked at it. And the Holy Ghost said, make an appointment to see it. Now, remember when the Holy Ghost told me to apply for a job that I wasn't qualified for, and I out loud said wrongly to the Lord, can you read? Like sarcastic, Lord, it says bachelor's degree required, master's degree preferred. I don't have these things, and you're telling me to apply? Well, again, what were the facts? You need a bachelor's, you need a master's, but what happens with God? The facts don't mean jack. It doesn't matter what the facts say. Just find out what God's saying about the situation. That's all that matters. Amen. And so he said, I didn't out loud say something because I learned my lesson, but in my heart, in my mind, I thought this, that's not very nice of you, Lord, to have me make an appointment for a house that you know I like, that you know we can't even come close to affording, right? Yeah. But I've learned a secret or two. Just do it. I've thought about getting the Nike logo on my Bible. Just do it. Why? You look at the people in the Word, when God would say something, it would be uncomfortable, it wouldn't make sense, there'd be no natural reason for it, but when they just did it, the blessings came. The people that question it, like Jonah, like Lot, like people that question what God says to do, and question it, they missed out. But remember when Jesus, Mary said, whatever he says, just do it. Okay, well, Jesus put him to the test. Go take, we need wine. Okay, you need wine? Take the water pots down to the well and fill it up with water. Rewind, Jesus, you misheard me. We need wine, not water. Remember what Mary said? Just do it. And they heard it. They said, he said, do it, we're going to do it. What happened? Blessing came. Abraham, get up on the mountain and kill your son. Just do it. And what did Abraham do? Took his son and said, let's go. Coming down with a knife, and the angel of the Lord appeared and said, don't kill your son, there's a ram in the thicket. But what happened? Because you have done this thing and have obeyed my voice, and then it goes into all the blessings. Go borrow empty pots. You need to pay your debts off. I only have a little oil in a cruise. Go borrow a bunch of empty pots and take your little bit of oil and start pouring it in other people's jars. Yeah, but it's just going to empty out. Just do it. But I only have one meal left for me and my son. And we're going to eat it and die. The prophet said, make one for me. Just do it. Amen. So after taking enough lumps and bumps through the years that were unnecessary, I've learned, just do it. God knows what's best. And I'm going to try to condense this real quick here. So I did it. Made an appointment to see the house. Hadn't told anybody about it. No financing, nothing. Just made an appointment to see the house. Walk into the house and through the front door. It's where the living room is. It's the new addition on the house that they put on before we moved in. And it goes through a dining room, an open dining room with the kitchen, and into like what used to be a laundry room, a little space there. And as soon as I walked in, and I love the place, I got the witness in my heart. This is your house. Well, I'd been waiting for that witness for 26 months. And now I got it. Well, you talk about the brain start to turn now. He says it's my house. I know what I make. I know what she makes now. Zero. I know what I make. And there's not a lot more than zero. You know, it was getting better and better, but it wasn't where she was. And so now my mind is, I think, okay, I saw the house. I like it. I'm thinking to myself, I already know I like this place. Now you're telling me it's mine. What next, Lord? Make an appointment to walk the property. Because I had 22 acres on it. I said, okay, make the appointment to walk the property. So I walked the property, and as the story goes, it was a hot, sunny day in the summer. And it was just thick woods, green, you know, bugs and mosquitoes. Not something she's a fan of. So she's like running a race, 100-meter dash. Courtney's way out in front of me. I'm in the middle, and the realtor somehow got an injury playing golf. I'm still trying to figure it out because he was limping bad, so he's way behind me, and I'm in the middle. And I'm just praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Now remember, just do it. The facts are what? You can't afford this place. The facts are the banks would say, no, that's a fact. You can't have this place. That's the facts. Stay out. You can't be healed. That's the facts, naturally. And I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I'm praying in tongues as I'm walking through the woods because I'm trying to get an answer. I know I've done the next step, which is make an appointment to see it, but that still hasn't helped me get the money or help me figure this out. And up from my heart came this. When you get back, tell the realtor you want it. Now, I haven't talked to a bank. I hadn't talked to anybody about any funding. And he says, just to give you an idea of this testimony, I don't say this to brag because I just did what God said to do and the Holy Ghost pointed this out. But I told Pastor Michael this story at the mustard seed down the road before it moved to Fredonia. He dropped his fork and looked at me and said, that's a Brother Hagin type testimony right there. Amen. But anybody can have it if you're willing to hear from God and do what God says. I mean, I could tell stories of other people in this church that obeyed God and walked into some big things. He said, tell him you want it. I said, oh my gosh, this is getting real now. And he said, and tell him these three things. And it was so specific. It was like it was penned in my heart. He said, tell him number one, it's a cash deal and the money's in the bank. Huh? A cash deal, the money's in the bank? Well, that's true. The money might be in the bank, but it doesn't under my name. That's what he said to say. Now, I didn't know at the time what this was going to turn out to, but what the Holy Ghost was telling me on that walk was the reason I got into this house. Amen. The second thing, tell her, the owner, she was an older lady who had built that house in the 60s, had lived in it all, her whole life. It was very near and dear to her. She's getting ready to move into senior living that they're building down the road for. Her husband's passed away, and it's too much for her to take care of, so she's selling the home. And he says, second thing, tell the realtor to tell her that you don't need to sell your house first. That's not contingent on your house selling. Yes, it is. We can't even afford this new house, let alone afford this new house that we can't afford with the old mortgage. But that's what the Holy Ghost said to say. Third thing he said, tell him to tell her that she can pick the closing date and say, I don't care if it's 2 or 3 years down the road. I said, Lord, If we sell our house, we're going to be homeless. That's what he told me to tell her. So I got back, and I'll tell you what, my mind was racing, but I've learned to hear. And I said, Steve, wasn't Steve Muck, Steve's a realtor, but it wasn't him. Didn't know him yet. And I said, Steve, we'll take it. And I said, and to top it off, I said, it's a cash deal. Money's in the bank. I mean, I'm just saying what God's saying. I'm talking like I'm big shot here. Cash deal, money's in the bank. I never said it was my money. But that's what the Holy Ghost said. And I said, and tell Mrs. Anderson, isn't that neat? Her name's Mrs. Anderson. They got a maple syrup barn in the back of the property, and guess what it says on the sign? The Andersons. Amen. I mean, she built it for us. She didn't even know it. That was really nice of her. And I said, and tell her, we don't have to sell our house first. It's not contingent on us selling our house. And I said, and also, I know how much this property means to her, and it's a big change for her. You tell her she picks the closing date. He interjected. He said, well, it's usually 30, 45 days, 60 days, whatever you guys agree. I said, no. You tell her, if she accepts our offer, she picks the closing date. I don't care what the Holy Ghost said, if it's 2 or 3 years down the road. That's what God said to say. I told him all that, and I drove home thinking, I am an idiot. Oh, I'm an idiot. Well, to make a hopefully not a long story even longer, I had talked with an individual about financing, and at the time they had promised me a certain amount of money, and it wasn't anywhere near what the house was, but that ended up working out with the financing of it. And they had it on their heart to go ahead and do this. How do I want to say this? So we found out what to offer the house. We said, Lord, what's the number that she's going to accept? Because we don't want to play all these games. Like, what's going to get us into this house? Well, he told us the number. It was tens of thousands of dollars less than what she was asking for. So we went to the house. He said to her, the realtor said to me, I've never had an offer like this. You tell her what you told me. So we went inside the house and sat down, and I said, Mrs. Anderson, we love this place. We would love to have our home here and raise our family here. It's wonderful. It's great. And I think it would be to your benefit to do business with us, and here's why. Number one, it's a cash deal. The money's in the bank. You don't have to worry about a mortgage. And the bank's saying no and things. So the money's already there. I mean, I'm just saying what God said. Don't blame me. Blame God. And then I said, and Mrs. Anderson, we have a house, but don't worry about it. It's not contingent on if our house sells. If our house takes 10 years to sell, it doesn't matter. We don't need to sell our house first. Naturally, we did. And third, I said, you pick the day when you want us, the closing date. And I know it's normally this amount of time, but you pick it. I don't care if it's 2-3 years down the road. Whenever they get your apartments done. Now, funny story with that, she's only still in her house because her apartments have been delayed 2 years. Why was it delayed 2 years? Why? Because I was the dummy wandering around South Dayton looking for a house. So God had to delay the construction process till I got smart enough to pray to find out. So they had to delay that for me to get in there. Because that house has made my joy full. I love where I live. And you come see it, just a ranch house. I mean, I'm not belittling it. Please don't misunderstand me. You might think you're going to pull up and see Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. It's just perfect. And one of the reasons it's so good, and this is, I'm being dead serious. I'm not trying to make you laugh. I can go hunting and 5 minutes later have a 10-piece chicken McNugget. I live in the woods in the country, and McDonald's right down the road, Walmart and the mall and everything. It's right there. It's perfect. I think of some of these people that live in Cattaraugus, you guys can't just go through the drive-through. How do you live? I can't figure it out how you could make it without just going and getting something, you know? And so I told her that, you know, and the realtor came back and got a hold of me. And in that process of time, I secured financing. Thanks be to God. And the realtor calls and said, well, I don't think she's going to accept your offer because people are offering her full price for the home. You offer tens of thousands of dollars less. People are offering full price for the home. And some people have told me privately, listen, we'll pay extra to live here. And part of the reason was they wanted to raise their family there, being in Southwestern School District. It was right down the road. And he said, I don't think you're going to accept your offer. Well, he calls me back a few days later and says, you're never going to believe this, but she accepted your offer. I said, that's wonderful. What about the people that offer full price? The money wasn't important to her. The fact that there's not a mortgage that can be held up and canceled, that's what he said. She liked that. The fact that you don't have to wait for your house, because if she needs the money from this sale to move into her new place, and if she can't get the money for the sale until you sell your home, if my home takes a year, two, 3 years to sell, it's going to hurt her. The fact that you said it doesn't matter, she liked that. And the comfort and security you gave her, not knowing when her apartments would be done, that she can move out whenever, he said, those three things were the deal breaker, and that's why you get this house, and the people that offered more money than what she was asking for will not get the house. Why? God likes me more than them. I mean, if he liked them more, he would have told them the same thing, but he told me. Now, I can't walk that out unless the Holy Ghost tells me that. But here's my point. Where did it all start? Pastor Mike having the faith that the facts don't mean jack. The bank can say something, the house can say something, the price can say something, your mind can say something, your flesh can say something, but it only matters that God said, this is yours. He says healing's yours, he says prosperity's yours, he says all these things are yours. Better start putting your faith, and I apologize for the heat in here, I should have had the AC on, but if you're a little bit warm, but we're going to close up right now. So the facts don't mean jack, but God's word does. And faith is of the unseen realm. God will say things that don't match up with the seen, but it's your job to believe the unseen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word tonight. We praise and magnify. I apologize for going a little bit longer than I thought I was going to go. But this will put something in us. Because if you're not encountering something now that's telling you you can't have what God says, get ready, you will. It'll come down the road where God's told you to do something or the word says something and you can't pay for it. No way. It doesn't look like there's any chance of paying for it. It'll come down to not being able to be healed, doctor's reports, and you'll have a choice. Believe the word or believe that. I encourage you to believe the word. Father, I pray that this would be branded into their lives, that this would sink deep on the inside of them, Father, and they would be people of faith, people that believe you over the natural, people that don't care about the mountain, people that don't care about the wall, people that don't care about the doctor's report, people that don't care about the financial report. They only care what you said. That's it, Father. Your word, your word, your word. We hold fast to your word. Hallelujah. We hold fast. Now, I want you right now in your seat to think, what is that thing in your life that is shouting at you? And it might be so factual. It might, the numbers might say it. The doctor's report might say it. The people might say it. The circumstance might say it. What is that thing in your life that is shouting at you that says you can't have it? Now, if you don't know what God has said about that, you can get a hold of me later after service. Give me an email. Give me a phone call. Say, Pastor, this is what I'm dealing with. But what does the word say about this? And I'll give you the word. That's what you need to cling to. That's what you need to hold on to. Praise your name forevermore, Father. We bless you. We bless you. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christians in the attitude of prayer. If you want to receive Jesus tonight, if you've never done it, I'm telling you, church attendance doesn't get you in. Being a good person doesn't get you in. Living a moral life doesn't get you in. Accepting Jesus gets you in. If you're here and you can say, I believe in Jesus, but I've never received him. I've never asked him into my heart. That's the step you need to take. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Does anybody tonight want to receive Jesus? I won't embarrass you. Of course, nobody will have to come forward, stand up, or say anything on their own. Anybody want to receive Jesus that's never done it before? Just raise your hand in the air. Anybody? Father, I didn't think there was anybody in here that's never done it, but Lord, I wanted to be sure. And if there's somebody on live stream or listening in the future that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I want to encourage you that's listening right now. It's simple. You don't have to jump through religious hoops or do religious cartwheels to get God to accept you. The Bible says if you call on his name, you'll be saved. Just simply say, Lord, I believe. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart and he'll save you. He'll come in. God will become a father to you. And then we encourage you. Let us know. Give me an email. Shoot me a text. Call me, whatever. Let me know you received Jesus and we'll get you set up in a Bible teaching church. Why go to a Bible teaching church? So you can learn all that God has for you and learn how to access all that God has for you. I just have this on my heart right now. Let's stand to our feet and worship God together and thank him. I believe what you've said about that, Father. Now I'm talking specifically about my own life, but you talk about your own life. I believe what you have said about that, Father. I know what the natural said. I know what time has said. I know what feelings have said. I know what thoughts are saying. I know what circumstances are saying. But Father, I am laser focused on what you have said. And what you have said will come to pass in my life. And I'll walk into that promised land, walk into that victory, walk out of that. I don't care what the natural says. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Red Sea said nope. God said yep. The fiery furnace said nope. God said yep. The lion's den said nope. God said yep. The Jericho said nope. God said yep. Abraham's body said nope. God said yes. The cross and the grave said nope. And God said yep. Hallelujah. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the miracle, signs, and wonder. You are the God that obliterates the factual realm, the natural realm. So we put our faith in you tonight. And we declare, say this with me, it will come to pass. Say that. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. We laugh at the natural. We laugh and we find it funny what you're trying to tell us, natural. Our faith is in God and His Word. And it'll come to pass. Father, we praise you tonight. And we bless you. We thank you for everyone that came out. I thank you they're not leaving the same way they came in. They're leaving different. Father, this is a place of help. This is a place of change. This is a place of deliverance. This is a place where people's lives actually change for the better. And we thank you for those changes. And we say it'll all come to pass. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say with a loud face, shout, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday. You're dismissed.